right. Digital modes for parks on the air.
Yeah.
We're going to take a deep dive into that today.
Awesome.
And we've got this really cool guide here that's all about like how to really make the most of digital modes when you're out doing a park activation.
Yeah.
So if you're into POTA at all,
mm-hmm.
and you maybe want to add in some digital modes, or you're already doing them, but you want to get better.
Right.
This is the episode for you.
Absolutely. The guide jumps right into it. And it's not afraid to say that, hey, you know, bringing digital modes into your park activations.
Yeah.
It's an extra layer of stuff to think about. You know, you're already dealing with, you know, setting up in the field and all the challenges that come with that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, you know, you're adding, you know, computers and software and all this other stuff.
Right.
So, you know, it emphasizes the importance of preparation, which is really key.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
What kind of things should we be doing to prepare?
Well, first of all, I think the biggest thing, and they hit on this right away, is make sure that your computer software is up to date.
Right.
Because, you know, if you're running outdated software,
yeah,
you're going to run into all sorts of glitches and compatibility issues, and you don't want to be in the field.
Right.
And have like, you know, your software crash on you or not be able to connect or something like that.
Yeah. Or like not even know that there's an issue.
Exactly.
Until it's too late.
Yeah. It's like trying to use a, you know, rusty old tool.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to work as well.
Right. Right. That makes sense.
So
and then I imagine like timekeeping is probably even more crucial when you're talking about digital modes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Like even more so than with, you know, regular phone or CW.
Exactly. Especially when you're talking about modes like FT8.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they rely on incredibly precise timing.
Okay.
And, you know, if your clock is even the slightest bit off, it can really throw things off and prevent you from making contacts. So how do you guarantee that you have that level of accuracy?
Well, one of the best ways to do that is to use a GPS dongle with PPS.
And what is PPS?
So PPS stands for pulse per second.
Okay.
And essentially what it is it's a signal that's coming from the GPS satellites.
Okay.
And it's a very accurate signal that can be used to keep your computer's clock perfectly synchronized.
Oh, so it's like a heartbeat from the satellite.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like a heartbeat for your computer's clock.
Wow. Okay.
And there's actually a software that's mentioned in the guide called BKT TimeSync.
BKT TimeSync.
Yeah. And it uses these PPS signals from your GPS dongle to make sure that your clock is spot on.
Interesting. Okay.
So that's one of the best ways to make sure that your timing is accurate.
So we've got software updated. We've got our timing locked in. What other kind of practical considerations should we be thinking about?
Well, one thing that they mentioned, and I thought this was a really good point, is, you know, think about bringing a sunshade or an anti-glare screen for your laptop.
Oh, yeah.
Because, especially if you're using like a glossy screen laptop.
Right. Yeah. It can be really difficult to see your screen in bright sunlight, and that can really hinder your operation.
For sure.
So that's just a practical tip to keep in mind.
Yeah, that's a great tip. Okay. Another thing that they emphasize is the importance of clearing out your old logs and archiving them before your activation.
Now, why is that so important?
Well, you know, if you've got a log file that's cluttered with a bunch of old contacts, it can slow down your logging process, and it can also make it more difficult to see if you've already worked a particular station that day.
Oh, okay. I see.
So starting with a clean slate just kind of ensures that everything is going to go smoothly.
Right. Okay. So just for efficiency's sake, you want to have that fresh log ready to go.
And then they also mention a program called JT Sync, which is useful for synchronizing your clock with other stations.
Okay. And so this is all before you even head out to the park.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, cool. So let's actually talk about the software a little bit more.
Okay.
Because it seems like this guide really dives deep into WSJTX.
It does. Yeah. WSJTX is a very popular choice for POTA activators. Yeah. And they offer some really interesting tips to kind of streamline your workflow.
Okay.
One thing that they suggest is actually renaming your WSJTX log file before you head out to the park.
Now, why would you do that?
Well, by renaming the log file, what you're essentially doing is resetting the worked before status in WSJTX.
Interesting.
So if you've been active from home and you've worked a bunch of stations, when you go out to the park, you don't want to accidentally log a duplicate contact.
Right.
So by renaming the file, it's like starting with a fresh slate.
Oh, I see. So it's almost like tricking the software into thinking.
Exactly.
That it's a new day, a new activation.
Yep. And then in terms of, you know, how to actually organize your logs.
Right.
They recommend sticking to the POTA naming conventions, you know, usually by park and date. So, you know, park name date. And that way you can keep everything organized.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, so that's renaming the log file. Any other kind of WSJTX tricks we should have up our sleeve?
Yeah, absolutely. They also talk about using different WSJTX configurations for
Yeah.
different parks.
So different parks, different configurations. What does that mean, and why would we want to do that?
So, WSJTX has this configuration system,
Right.
and you can clone your default configuration
Okay.
and rename it for a specific park.
Right.
And what that allows you to do is to have park-specific settings.
So, like, what kind of settings are we talking about?
Well, the most obvious one is your call sign and your grid square.
Okay.
But you can also create like transmit macros
Okay.
for CQ calls that automatically include the POTA designation and your grid square.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it just saves you a lot of typing and a lot of time.
That's great, especially if you're, trying to be really efficient with your time out there. Like
Right.
every second counts, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So we've got that. And then when it comes to actually logging the QSOs and WSJTX, are there any like kind of tips or tricks that they mention?
Yeah, there's a couple of good ones. One thing that they highlight is the comments field in
Yeah.
the log QSO window. And you can use this field to store information that's specific to your park activation.
Okay.
So like the park number or any special details about your setup.
Right.
And then another tip is to use the retain checkbox
I
in the logging window.
What does that do?
So what that does is it basically prevents you from having to re-enter the same information
Gotcha.
for every QSO.
Right, so like the park information or whatever, you can just
Yeah.
have it stay there.
So it saves you a lot of time.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, so that's all really great information for WSJTX. But I gotta ask, what about the other modes? I mean, FT8 is great, but
Yeah.
it's not the only game in town.
It's not. It's not. And the guide does mention that.
Right.
They do focus quite a bit on FT8, but they do
Yeah.
say, hey, don't forget about all these other great digital modes that
Right.
are out there.
So why should we branch out from FT8? What are some of the benefits of trying those other modes?
Well, I mean, one thing is that each contact using a different digital mode on the same band and UTC day counts as a separate QSO. So if you're really trying to maximize your contact count, it's a good way to do it.
Right. So you can work the same station on like FT8 and then PSK and then RTTY, and that would count as three separate contacts.
That's right.
Okay.
And, some modes are better suited for certain conditions.
Like what?
Well, like for example, PSK31.
Oh.
It's very effective for weak signal work.
Right.
RTTY is kind of a classic mode that a lot of people enjoy.
Yeah.
So it's really about kind of having a diverse toolkit, and being able to choose the right mode for the right situation.
Yeah. And it's always good to learn new things,
Absolutely. Keep your skills sharp.
Yeah, keep your skills sharp and you never know what you're going to find out there.
That's right.
So, yeah, I think this guide was really cool.
Yeah.
We covered a lot of ground here, from software updates and time synchronization to WSJTX tips and tricks,
Yep.
and even venturing beyond FT8.
Right.
What do you think is the biggest takeaway for listeners?
Well, I think the key takeaway here is that, efficient digital mode operation can really enhance your POTA experience,
Yeah.
by taking the time to prepare properly
Yeah.
and utilizing the tools and techniques that we talked about, and really embracing, the variety of modes that are available.
Yeah.
You can really streamline your operations, maximize your QSO count,
Right.
and just have more fun out there.
Yeah, well said, well said. I'm definitely feeling inspired to go out there and put some of these tips into practice.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm going to leave our listeners with a question to think about. What kind of unique challenges and opportunities might those less common digital modes present during a POTA activation?
That's a good
That's
question.
something to think about, as you continue your POTA journey. So
Absolutely.
until next time,
73.
73.
Bye.
Bye.